You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and my son slept through the night last night, so you are actually going to get well-rested Matthew Heimbach, 110% Matt Heimbach here today, and man, I love it. I feel great. So to talk about some serious subjects on why the left hates us so much is joining me, my good friend, my comrade, Sven Longshank. Sven, how are you doing today?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's pretty cold here at the moment. We're having a bit of a cold snap. Half the country is covered in snow. But I'm still on the internet and I'm still able to talk to you now. We're still able to make this podcast. While I've been out today, I've just been having a few thoughts going through my mind because I'm quite stunned, really, at just how much hatred I see on the left. You know, they're always accusing us of hate. They accuse us of hate crimes. But all the hatred seems to stem from them. You know, they call for people to be killed. They want to see people sent to prison. They've driven millennial woes to actually leaving the country. They try to print people's, put people's names in print and their houses in print, hoping that people will terrorize them. You know, they'll throw stones through people's windows, set petrol bombs off. Really violent behavior, violent criminal behavior against people who have a different politics to them. And you don't see any of that on the side of the right. I mean, just a couple of weeks back, there was a right-wing bookshop that was blown up with a bomb in Italy, I believe that was. So we see all this ultra-violence on the left. And a lot of it is they don't even understand what it is that we are actually talking about. They just seem to hate people because they're white nationalists or they've been told that they're Nazis and they just hate us. And I was thinking, you know, well, what is this about? You know, and it's got to be about our message. Our message has got to be the truth because the truth hurts. And all they would have to do if they wanted to disprove us, you know, they could disprove us, couldn't they? I mean, if they wanted to say homosexuals aren't mainly paedophiles, then there would be the proof of that. If we went to the prison, we would find that the homosexuals in prison, only 1% of them were paedophiles. But we don't. We find 40% of them are paedophiles. When we say blacks commit the majority of violent crime, they could stop committing the violent crime and then we could look at the statistics and we would find that blacks only commit 10% of the violent crime instead of 80%. You know, we could look at feminists. We could say to feminists, well, prove us wrong then, feminists. Let's see whether the divorce rate isn't 50%. Stop divorcing your husbands. Stop preventing your children from having a father there, taking their father away, and then we won't have such an issue with you. And all these things that we talk about, they are all facts. So it's these facts that they're trying to silence. So it is the truth that they actually hate. This is what they hate. They hate the truth because it would be a simple matter to prove us wrong if we were wrong. And they can't prove us wrong. So their only answer to this is to respond with terrorism, which is what they do. Because if you want to try and change somebody's politics and you use violence to do that, illegal means to do that, crime to do that, then that is the definition of terrorism. It's using violence to achieve a political aim. And this hatred is just, I cannot understand it, Matt, because, you know, I know that in China and Japan, they call white people white devils. Does that bother me? No, I couldn't care less what the Chinese call white people in China. So why is it that Africans and Negroes are upset at what white people call them? I really could not care less what anybody else says about the white race. All I'm concerned about is what the white race says about itself.
And Sven, I just wanted to jump in real quick. Something I think that is actually directly kind of ties to you with the UK is I saw it just this morning. I mean, you want to talk about the hatred about when we say anything about the best interests of our families, your own Home Secretary is now being investigated by the police. I was just reading this morning for statements that she made last year, I guess, on the issue of migrants and saying that these migrants are coming over and they're taking jobs from British workers. And that is being called hate speech and being investigated by the police. So when we're talking about what they hate us so pathologically that simply pointing out economics 101, if you're adding workers to the labor market, then the native-born workers are going to suffer job losses. That isn't even an ideological thing. That's just basic understanding of what economics is, that there's then going to be lower wages, less opportunities. The capitalists are going to be able to ensure there aren't going to be strikes because they're going to have infinite amount of strike breakers. And the standard of living for workers is going to go down when everyone in the world can come to Britain or the United States and work. So that is being classified as hate speech by simply pointing out that they want to favor British workers over over foreign labor, and that is being called and investigated as hate speech. So their definition is anything involving making the lives better for our families, even if it doesn't even mention race, is also classified as hate speech.
That's quite hilarious. That it was some professor as well from some university, and he didn't actually hear her speech. He just looked through the draft of it, and where she said that we want businesses to be employing British people, not foreign workers. Apparently, that's hate speech. She's been reported for hate speech, but not an actual hate crime. I mean, this term hate, it really does seem to be that, Matt. It seems to be anybody that really wants to look out for white people, that they are accused of hate. And it really is not about hate, because I am completely indifferent to these other races. Total indifference to them. It's not hatred. It's complete indifference. I care about my own people. I don't want to see the other races harmed in the same way that I don't want to see anybody harmed. But my prior need is to look after my own family and to look after my own race. And that's the programming that I have, is to look after the people around me. And if everybody did that, we wouldn't have a problem. But we don't have that. We have white people not looking out for themselves. And the few white people that do stick their head up above the parapet and speak out for the interests of white people, they are accused of hate. And they're treated as if they're rapists and murderers and monsters. I mean, the way that Millennial Woes has been treated by the media is absolutely horrific. You would think he was, you know, he was some murderer or some mass rapist. And yet he's never even been charged with a crime. Yet these words, racist, homophobe, Nazi, all these slur words that the left wing throw at us, they're like magic words. They have this magic effect on people. They drive them absolutely wild and to committing these violent crimes. It's like a madness, Matt. It's like our people have a mad delusion. They have a delusion that a suicidal delusion to attack the very people that are speaking up for their best interests. And I think a lot of it is just this hatred that they realize that we are actually telling the truth. We are telling the truth, and it hurts. The truth, because the truth does hurt. But at the same time,
it
also
sets everything
you free.
They believe in. You know, I mean, it really does. If when we point out that multiculturalism leads to terrorism, when multiculturalism leads to a lower standard of living, when capitalism is driving down wages and denying opportunities, when these Jewish usury policies that the banks do are stealing family farms and family homes from millions of families all around the Western world, when we point out that these wars that our brave sons go off to fight, when they're told that it's about patriotism, they say that, you know, that this is about the right thing to do, and it turns out you're killing people that don't hate you, they don't hate us for our freedom or anything like that, they hate us because we're being used by the Jews to advance their geopolitical interests. When it comes out that you're challenged, I actually just saw an argument this morning, one of my Facebook friends put up a thing about the greatest story never told. And some guy, one of his friends, got on there and said, well, my papa, his grandfather, fought Adolf Hitler in World War II. And, you know, how dare you spit on him? And, you know, people were saying, well, look at what we're actually saying. Look at what our positions are. What was National Socialism? Why did that war happen? Why was your grandfather at a young age drafted into the military, sent over to France, then sent over to Germany to fight and kill his own kinsmen? I mean, so many Americans, at the time of World War II, had only been here for one generation, two, three generations to have, you know, ethnic Germans killing other ethnic Germans. For what? For the international capitalist system. But people, the truth hurts. And to have to come to terms with that they've been lied to in this system, all you can respond to, you can't respond with a rational argument. You can't respond with a retort. All you can do is then push venom back, because you are challenging someone's fundamental beliefs. And we really have turned, as we've dethroned God, in the West. You know, when Nietzsche said that God is dead, he wasn't addressing, you know, saying that God physically was dead. He was saying in the West that Christianity had really been removed from the public sphere and the private life, because we see the Enlightenment, we see the French Revolution, we see these rebellions against God and the king and the nation and the family being replaced by these Jewish and Masonic ideas that, you know, all these founding principles that they've been told to believe in, and so many actions their ancestors might have taken or they might have taken to be shown that it's all a lie. And we can prove it. We have the documents. We have the papers. We can show that they were lied to, but that challenges them. And then if they know that's the truth, the only rational thing for them to do is join us, is to come onto our side, is to stand up and fight against this system. But that's very difficult for people because that challenges their comfort level. That challenges them to actually get out and do something. That challenges them to be politically engaged. And so many people don't want to do that. And that's what we see, that you know, even so many conservatives will get this hatred, this anger, because we're challenging the very principles that they've been told that their society is built upon. And we've got the proof, and they can't retort. That's why the left has to enact this no platform policy. Like you said, with terrorism, they have to shoot our comrades in Golden Dawn. They have to firebomb our meetings. They have to call in bomb threats to get our meetings shut down. They have to use physical force on the streets to try and drive us from the streets. And that is what they do to try to silence us. But they cannot stop the truth. The truth isn't held within one man. It's not held within one organization. The truth is this eternal principle, and the lies cannot cover up the truth. So that the only logical thing for them to do, if they want to stay in their comfort zone, is to respond with hatred.
Well, yeah, this is just it. You get the ones that aren't quite as extreme as the ones that call for violence and support violence, and they say, well, we should have a debate. We should we should show these people on the right that their arguments are false. We should be having a debate with them and talking to them, because I'm sure their views must be ridiculous. You know, they just don't like blacks because they just have an aversion to the color black. You know, that sort of logic, that's the sort of logic you see when you look at left-wing YouTube channels and hear them speaking. They really have no idea what our actual points are. And the more extreme left, they know that if people get to hear our points, then, and as you say, Matt, they will have no choice but to actually come to our side. And then you get the people that just don't want to hear, because they don't want to know that they're mistaken. They may have a niggling voice in the back of their head saying that they might actually be wrong about race, or they might actually be wrong about the Jews, but they don't want to face up to that. They don't want to see the evidence, because if they see the evidence, it means admitting that for the last decade, they had things completely wrong, or for the last two decades, they had things completely wrong. And they would much rather stay in their comfort zone and stay where they are, living a lie, rather than actually discover the truth. So you have all these different ways of looking at things on the left, and none of it revolves around actually putting forward a cogent argument for their position. I mean, you brought up the terrorism there, the Muslims were the terrorists. Well, all they would have to do is stop committing terrorism. I mean, and how many hours were we into 2017 before the first terrorist attack went off in Turkey? You know, we hadn't even gone one day, and the terrorists were killing everyone, weren't they? Muslim terrorists.
It's so serious, man. All I can do is laugh, because you're 100% right.
It is, you know, that's the way it is. It's with the Jews. I mean, all they would have to do is stop making the fuss about revisionists, but show us some proof about what happened in World War II. Show us an autopsy report of a gassed Jew. Show us some proof. Show us the gas chambers. Tell us, you know, the scientific way that they actually worked. How you could heat cyanide up and kill people with it by dropping pellets of it through holes in the roof. And yet they could stop being involved in pornography and involved in usury. They could make everybody aware of who they are in government and say, look, we are all Jews. So you know that we are the Jews here. So you can see that. And we would see that there's actually 30 or 40% of the government is made up from them. So, you know, they can't do this. They can't actually prove to us that our points are wrong, because all our points are correct, because we stand firmly in the truth. And the other way that the left should be looking at this is, look at these risks that we take. You know, they may mock us for not putting our real names out there, but look at the violence that happens when people do put their real names out there. Look at what's happened to Millennial Woes. He's had to leave the country. Rather than recant his views, he's had to leave the country. That's how much he believes in what he's doing. How many leftists would risk their lives for what they believe in? I know they do stupid things, stupid attacks on right-wing people, but how many of them would think of leaving the country rather than recant their views? How many of them would stake their life on the views that they hold? Not many of them, because most of them are in it for what they can get for themselves, what they can get for the individual, whereas the nationalist is in it for the long haul. We see ourselves as links in a chain going all the way back in time, and hopefully that's going to go all the way forward. You know, we don't see ourselves as atomized individuals like the left does. You know, there's a big difference between us, isn't there? The two ideologies.
100%. I mean, this ideological difference, Sven, is so powerful that the left, everything with them is about rights. You know, when you talk about rights, we, of course, understand that your rights come from God. And the position of the state is to be able to uphold and protect those God-given rights. You know, of course we believe in things like private property and a man's right to defend himself and his family and things like that, to be able to raise his opinions about things within society. But the left, their definition of rights has been utterly redefined, that you are simply an individual. The society is there to protect you to do whatever the heck you want, whether it's mutilating your genitals and calling yourself a woman and putting on a dress, or murdering your unborn child, or you know, going out and doing whatever perversion you want, any antisocial behavior, whether it's drugs or engage in filming or participating in pornography and things like that. Their definition of rights shows what their viewpoint is. As nationalists, our position is one where we believe in duty. We believe that there are rights, 100%, but that there is also a duty we have to our people, to our nation, to our children, and to generations to come, and also to uphold an honorable legacy from our ancestors. So when we as nationalists talk about, you know, what we're doing, I think we believe more in responsibilities. We believe in honor, this code of honor. And you see where everything comes from within our movement is built around cultivation of our people and our nation state and our culture. It's built on sacrifice for one another. But the left, everything about their ideology is about the radical individual, which means if it's about the individual, why do we have so many divorces in the West? Well, I wasn't happy. It is what you hear all the time. It isn't, my husband or my wife was going out and cheating on me or beating me or something like that. It usually is, I wasn't happy. If you look actually at the numbers of divorces, the vast majority are just simply, it said, you are incompatible. It's not based on spousal abuse or anything that even the ancient church, you know, or a traditional European society would say, this marriage isn't working out. It's about the individual, that they're not happy for some reason. And, you know, they're not going to find happiness. The rate of people that once they get divorced, they might have a second or a third or even a fourth in the West. It's the same as abortions, where we see that, you know, many of the women who have abortions will have multiple abortions. And so I just wasn't ready to have a kid. So you're going to murder your own kid. That there is no duty to family. There is no duty to community. There is no duty to sacrifice for your children. Because that'd be privilege, right? You don't want to give them privilege. So everything about the left is built on this idea of the individual, and the individual can be easily controlled, can be bribed, can be manipulated, can be brought off the path of virtue. But it is nationalists that have a sense of duty that that everything we do, even if things are hard, marriage is hard. I'm married, and I have no problem admitting marriage is hard. You know, raising kids is hard. No question about that. Going and sacrificing for your brothers and your sisters. You know, not too long ago, one of our party members lost his job, and all of us in our local chapter came together to be able to help them be able to pay rent till they got on their feet. That's hard. You know, I wanted to get new tires for my car, you know, get ahead on my bills or things like that. But I had a strong responsibility to my comrade and my brother that is, you know, when my immediate family was taken care of, I had a little extra to be able to help them. And that is what nationalism is. It's about sacrifice. It is always about sacrifice for our people. And that's the opposite of radical individualism.
Well, I think another side of this as well, I mean, you talk about rights there. The leftists think that the rights come from the government, and they look to the government to give them the right to do whatever it is that they want to do. Whereas our view is rights come from God, and the state is there to protect those rights. The rights don't actually come from the state. If you think that the state gives you your rights, then the state can take those rights away. Your employer can take those rights away if you sign into a contract that he can. You know, if you accept that you don't actually have these rights that are from God that also come along with duties, then you're accepting the fact that people can take them away from you if they wish. Now you can be deprived of your rights if you break the law. But again, you know, that comes from God, the law, the criminal law, that if you commit a crime against society, then you have to be punished for that. Whereas the leftist way of looking at things is crimes can only be committed against the individual. They don't look at crimes against the society, like making pornography available on the internet to everyone of whatever age. I mean, that is a crime against society. You know, that means that you're not looking out for the younger members of society. You're just putting the needs of the individual first. The individual wants to look at pornography, so pornography is available on the internet. I mean, every single one of those individuals was a child once. Every single one of them was. And yet they're so selfish. They don't want to give up their instant pornography and save a child. They would rather keep that instant pornography for themselves. Is it so selfish? The whole leftist ideology is about self and doing whatever you can for yourself. And just being selfish makes someone miserable. That's why these leftists look so miserable. Have you noticed that, Matt? They always look ugly and miserable.
Well, they're always mad. I mean, you know, it's one of the funniest things that I always tell my guys before we go to a protest. You know, have fun. This is fun stuff. Even if you've got leftists screaming at you or throwing you know, things of urine at you or whatever, you know, saying the worst things in the entire world, be joyful, because we're standing on the position of righteousness. We're standing on the position of truth. Our foundation is unshakable. So have a good time. But the left is always angry. And that's not even just when they're protesting against us. When they do any sort of protest in the street, they're always mad. They're always yelling. They're punching police horses in the face. They're trying to burn down their own neighborhoods. They're always destroying. That is everything that they do. That everything in their ideology is built on hate, is built on destruction. The left does not have a narrative, does not have an ideology that they're going to build anything, right? It's, we're going to tear down the patriarchy. We're going to tear down white supremacy. We're going to tear down this society that has so oppressed us. And I mean, they really kind of have this Nietzschean slave morality that they've adopted, where they're just bitter and resentful. They don't do it because they love people. I mean, how many white leftists live in gated communities that are almost entirely white and Jewish? They don't love the black community when they march for Black Lives Matter and attack police officers or attack Trump supporters. They don't live what they believe in. They don't go to live in the ghetto. Of course they don't, because they want something, but they don't love something. They're not engaged in that community like groups say, like the Nation of Islam are. You know, what does the Nation of Islam do? Well, they actually just last year have opened up food pantries in like 24 American cities to ensure that every black family would never go hungry. If you are black, you can come in and they're going to get you food. They're going to find you resources. They're going to take care of you. That's what a group does when they love. But white leftists and Jewish leftists, all they want to do is destroy. And it's an ideology built on hatred, because what is the vision of what they're putting forward? This genderless, classless society, raceless society. Well, we know that's nonsense, because Black Lives Matter, they want to be able to have black self-determination. You know, of course, it's controlled by George Soros at the top, but the average black person wants black cops on their streets, wants community engagement. They are black. They don't want to give up their blackness, nor should they. These white leftists are the ones that want to destroy whiteness. They want to destroy our people. Racism can only be ended when whiteness is utterly destroyed. But they don't have a positive solution to go forward. And so many of their allies, when we see the coalition breaking down in the UK, you know, between the supposedly colorblind white leftists and the people of color who were trying to advocate. We saw it here in the United States with Bernie Sanders saying, hey, let's just be international socialists, basically. Let's forget about this race thing. And Black Lives Matter storms the barricade and grabs his microphone and says, no, this has got to be about race. So everything that they propose isn't even supported by the majority of people that are in this, you know, multicultural coalition, because those people want what's best for their communities. They're being led by the Jews. They're being led by the mainstream media. But at the very heart of hearts, most of these people of color that are advocating for their people. It's just not in the constructive way it should be. But it's white leftists. They just want to destroy absolutely everything. And it's not going to get them very far.
You can see it, can't you? You know, with this smash fascism, we want to smash the fash or whatever. You know, we've had some come in the chat room, and that's what they say. And I say, well, you know, what's your problem? Why have you got this problem? Why do you want to smash things? What is it you know? What is it you hate so much about us? And they do literally think that we just hate colours. They do not understand any of it, and they think we're all the same. And when they're talking about smashing things and breaking things down, they want to make everything the same. They want there to be no difference between the genders, no difference between the races. And if you take that to its logical extent, then you don't actually have any difference between anything anymore, and there's no possibility to know anything at all. It means just death, basically, the end of everything. If you get rid of all the barriers, you get rid of all the differences between things, you don't suddenly all come together as one and it's wonderful. You don't know anything anymore. You've got no point of reference. You've got no point of self, because you've lost yourself in amongst all this mess. And that is just destruction. It's the void. It's death. It's the end of everything. That is a logical result of breaking down all the barriers and getting rid of discrimination. Now, you look at discrimination. We discriminate between what is good and what is bad for us. Get rid of all discrimination, and you just end up doing everything that's bad for you. You know, it's such a negative view, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's their entire ideology, is there is no good, there is no evil. And you know, I really think, you know, we've got plenty of comrades from a variety of backgrounds, but, you know, if you look, you know, Jason and I talk about these things a lot. You know, he's a Roman pagan. You know, I've got lots of folk religionist friends, and they, of course, believe in virtue. And as a Christian, we believe in virtue. There is good and there is evil. There is objective truth and there is objective falsehood, things that we can disprove. And our society must be built around actually having something good, cultivating. You know, Cornelio Cadriano, when he talked about the legion, he said, wherever there is a legionary, a garden will, you know, show up, a garden will bloom, because that there's something about that spiritual element of being a nationalist, of being connected with your people and with your nation and your family, that you're going to grow something beautiful. You're going to tend it. You're going to promote what is good and healthy for the family, for our children, for the individual. That is what we are doing. Everything about us is built on doing what is good. But for the enemy, they don't believe in objective morality. They do not believe in virtue. They believe in hedonism. And it truly is satanic. There is no other way that I can say, you know, if you go back to the Old Testament, and you see, you know, you're talking about Satan. Satan is the opposition, right? So the opposition of everything that is good, whether you're a Christian or a folk religionist, or even if you're agnostic and you just know what is, you know, right for your people, what is healthy, what has been proven through the millennia to be a good thing. Our enemy is truly satanic, because they are the opposition. They are the enemy of everything that is good. Everything that is good, they call evil or oppressive. And everything that is bad, everything that is destructive, whether it's giving homosexuals children, and we know how many pedophiles are homosexuals, whether it's breaking down borders, whether it's attacking the church, whether it's attacking our traditions, everything they do is based in opposition to what is good and virtuous. So I think we can pretty fairly say, no matter where you stand on the faith spectrum within the nationalist movement, looking at what the word actually means, the enemy truly is a satanic enemy. And that's something that Adolf Hitler famously said, that we are facing this satanic enemy that is around the world. They don't have a home. And globalists and Jews are the same way. They don't have a home in any nation. Wherever they go, they want to sow distrust among the people. They want to break apart the family, and they want to destroy. They are a satanic enemy.
No, I agree, Matt. I think it's a good point you raise there. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian nationalist or a pagan nationalist or even an atheist nationalist. You know, if you're a nationalist, then what you're doing is based on natural law. It's based on nature. It's based on cultivating what is virtuous and what is good, and seeing what is good in nature, and breaking down the boundaries in nature is the ultimate bad, isn't it? You know, it's the ultimate sin, is to mix the two kinds together and mongrelize the creature. That's to really spit in the face of nature and spit in the face of the deity. So it doesn't matter what you are, on what side of the spectrum of nationalism you are, you still believe in virtue, you still believe in right, you still believe in what's wrong. And if you look at the left, you look at the left side of things, there is no good, there is no evil. Break down all the boundaries. It's almost like this right-hand, left-hand path that there has always been. Now, and this left-hand path is the sinister, wicked way, and the right-hand path is the good and correct way. Of course, the right-hand way is the right way. You can look at it like that as well, you know, right and wrong, right and left. It's the same thing. On the right is correct, and that's the way we need to be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where our virtues that we're promoting are healthy. We know that we're standing on the right side, and we see what the enemy does, that they are waging total war against us. Because it's not just about political victories for them. It's not just even demographically displacing us and making us minorities in our own country. They want us to be utterly destroyed, utterly vanquished. They want to do a Sherman's March to the Sea on everything we hold dear, our values, our religion, our belief in family. They are trying to destroy everything. So this is a total war against the satanic and Jewish power. And that's what we need to stand up against. That's what we are standing up against. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing to see so many nationalists coming together, standing together, fighting together, because we are going to win this, because the truth shall always conquer. The gates of hell shall not prevail. They will not be able to overpower us. We are standing on the right side. We're on God's side. It's simple as that. So Sven, thank you so much, as always, for being here, my friend. I think this is such a great discussion. And thank you to all my listeners. Thank you for all the support. Still getting support and messages for the event we held in Chicago. It was really great, and we're going to be looking forward to holding an event probably against APAC coming up the end of March. So we're going to be going into that a lot deeper over the next couple weeks. But we are going to be facing off against the foe wherever they raise their evil heads, and we're going to be opposing them by all honorable means. So, Sven, thank you for being here. Thank you to my listeners. And, guys, I'm going to see you tomorrow. Hail victory!
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.